Welcome to the Indian Silicon Valley podcast. I'm your host, Jivraj, and on this podcast, I speak with founders, investors, and domain experts from the Indian Valley trying to understand the art of building a legendary company. I hope everyone listening in and those around them are keeping safe and sound. In this episode, I speak with Vamsi Krishna, the co-founder and CEO of Vedantu, which is one of India's leading edtech startups. Democratizing high-quality education for 35 million Indian students per month, Vedantu is a phenomenal long-term organization solving one of the most fundamental problems in the country. Started in 2014 by a group of friends who had previously established a very successful chain of offline engineering tuition centers with Lakshya, Vedantu came in naturally towards the founders. However, live tutoring was not mainstream back in the day, and there were a bunch of questions that everyone raised. Irrespective, the Vedantu team trusted themselves and kept their eye on the mission without deterring or deviating, especially when it got bumpy. 7 years in, Vedantu is a unicorn startup, has over 200,000 paid consumers, and moreover, is unlocking incredible value for the masses. I sat down with Vamsi, the co-founder and CEO, to decode how they got here. We discuss how Vedantu has created and led a category in the edtech market of the country and get a masterclass on building high-quality culture. Vamsi also shares with us some deep nuggets of wisdom on how to optimize for energy, never give up, manage productivity, stay in the flow, and keep learning through the journey. Thus, without further ado, let's dive in to the 83rd episode of the Indian Silicon Valley podcast, Democratizing High Quality Education for India, with Vamsi of Vedantu. Thank you so much, Vamsi, for joining me. I'm absolutely delighted and honored to be hosting you today.
Thanks, Jivraj, for having me here. Likewise, look forward to this.
Great to hear that, Vamsi. And I think every company has these distinct features that make them apart. For me, what Vedantu stands for is this amazing mission, the amazing resilience, the amazing perseverance. And I want to decode all of it through this conversation. But to start off, I'd love to understand your founder journey and your scalability, because you started off as somebody who graduated from an IIT, resigned out of the job, established Lakshya with your co-founders, and then eventually went to this venture-backed scalable model to democratize education and take on this audacious goal head-on. Help us understand what this journey has meant for you. What was it like when you were starting Vedantu? And now that you are at the helm of a wave that you are championing with Vedantu of high-quality education across the board, how do you feel and what has it meant for you?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking that question. And It's a pretty, long one. So I'll try to summarize that. I know I would definitely struggle to summarize it because it's a pretty long journey and there have been a lot of stages and a lot of learnings and stuff like that. But Jivraj, just to answer that question from the beginning part, in at least my journey, friendship has played the pivotal starting role because, in our case, it was more of friendship, which got turned into business entrepreneurship. And that is definitely something which I would say is not in one's control. So that is one of those externalities which you can only feel good about, be very thankful about and grateful about. I just wanted to start off with that itself because that was not something which, one controls. But I've been very lucky to have amazing set of co-founders and we have been together. There have been a few ups and downs there as well, but definitely more ups than downs and we have grown together. And I can honestly say that it's that friendship and that love which also keeps you going because journey when you do alone is obviously always tough. So, together, sharing those ups and downs is a very big part of perseverance and that whole long journey part, right? So that I just wanted to call that out. That's one. Apart from that, obviously the scaling up is a natural thing. When you are at a particular stage, the challenges you face are of slightly different level and the resources also what you have to solve them are quite different. So I have to again shorten it, long story short, at the start, it is all about some vision, some problem which you are very deeply passionate about, and you really want to solve it, and you feel that you have a solution which is actually better than the existing ones, or 10x better than the existing ones. And there are a lot of iterations there. You do something, you figure out. So initially, that whole journey and the struggle is about how fast and how I would say elegantly and efficiently can you do that, navigate that. So it's starting. One is more like founders, great founders push and like, you know, doing it. Then once comes the stage that, okay, fine, you have like validated it, you have a product which sort of like fits the market, right? And you get some traction. Then comes the journey really about, you know, scaling it up and building that out. And that is probably where a lot of learnings around, you know, getting a team, and from completely being a very push-based thing, you sort of like, you know, take a step back and allow, you know, people to do. And that's probably another big part of the journey. And this journey actually stays this for a very long time. Yeah. And I think as Vedanta, we are still going through that second part of the journey. Just the stages change is what I would say. And there, probably the learnings you have as a founder and as a CEO, how you scale up is a little different. Sense that earlier, the mode of your working and your habits and your autopilots are of one type. Realize one fine day that those default behaviors won't work for you, right? And some of it needs to be the same, and some of it needs to definitely change. And just learning through that is a fascinating journey, I would say.
Got it. I think there are a couple of great nuggets there. And I think a lot of food for thought for young founders listening, especially as they tread on their journey. Since we're on the early aspects of starting up, I would love to understand from you that when Vedanta started and in its pivotal days, you invested very early on pivotal things like the platform, the teacher side of the platform, the engagement with students, a lot of AI. And you've always focused on the smaller things that matter. Because from the outside, we can look at a product and understand the great aspects of it, the UI and all of that shows. But there are a lot of intricate details that we particularly don't see as consumers. If you can help us understand the focus on the small things and what you were doing in the moment to invest in the future, I think everyone listening in can really benefit from it, especially to understand how short-term execution matches long-term vision. I'd love you to hear your opinion there.
Great, Jibra. So, you know, that aspect is important. And again, it is a function of also stage and everything. And also the kind of problem you're trying to solve. And what's your outlook of it? In the sense that what do you think are the factors which are important for short term? And what are the factors which are important for long term? So let me just talk about like Vedanta's case. We obviously, as you rightly said, we are the category creators of this live online classes. And now obviously, given pandemic and all, that category has really like, you know, become mainstream, and all of us are doing this. But when we started way back in 2014, the question were very existential in nature. Like, you know, ye chalega bhi kya? Matlab, like 2G was there at that time, 2G, 3G. We always used to operate from first principles there. And the first principle thing was very simple. Like, you know, we believe that being teachers ourselves, we had an amazing time going to this tier 3, tier 4 locations and teaching. And there was massive delta in that. So the first principle approach was very simple, that can we create something, a product, which enables such great teachers, right, to be accessible to this remote tier 3, tier 4. And when we tried doing that through offline, we really felt that it will take a long time for us to actually create any impact at scale. So hence, this thing was conceptualized. Now, when you conceptualize this, obviously, there were a lot of design choices. Now, the design choices and most of the big edtech players there, and there are a lot of edtech players at that time, right, were all doing asynchronous recorded video thing, right? It sort of makes sense also. It's not that it's not a good solution. It's like, get a good teacher, record him or her, and then just transmit that to masses. The challenge with that, one of the challenges with that is like being teachers ourselves and having done that. So by the way, that's another thing I would underscore, Jivraj. There's a lot of intuition which comes from you yourself doing it, which is very tough to put it in words. But, you know, any sane person are able to connect those dots. And what people sometimes call as insight is not really an insight. Insight is just, I believe, something which you just can't articulate in a very sequential way that, you know what, this, how the dots connected. But many people do it, get it intuitively, most of them. And that's it. People say creativity and all that. But I do believe it's a combination of like, you know, you getting exposed to those things. And some of it you yourself do. You just get it intuitively. So for us, live teaching was a very, like, very obvious intuitive thing. because we saw that that's what really creates an amazing, awesome classroom experience as ourselves. So the thing for us is very simple. Like, how do we create an online version of that? And hence, that whole interaction was obviously the central to this. Because if we were to create a product which replaces Laksh, which was an offline entity, like the pre of ours, or an offline entity, it has to be better than that. And now, when you go into a first principle, like what really made a beautiful offline experience, like what we experienced in a school or a tuition or a coaching grade, is that interaction, that teacher, that motivation, that inspiration, that inspired teaching part. Really do that, get that. This was a design choice, which if you think now in that sequence, it's very obvious, like no other way, right? That can happen. So hence, Vedantu was born with that design choice. Having said that, again, it's a function of stage and everything, that something you will get immediately, something you need to build out and create a category, and it takes some time for that. So to answer your question there, why did we invest so early on our platform and everything? It's because when we figured out that this is the most important element, and this is what is going to make you 10x better than anything else out there. So then you are able to identify what is core for you and what is not core for you. Yeah. So for us, the first thing we identified is the teacher is the core for us. And when teacher is the core and that inspired teaching and everything, three things came out very clearly, that if we have to create a 10x better experiential thing there, three things we identified were very important. One is the teacher. Second is the content, right? And third is the platform. Yeah. And hence, this combination of these three is what is going to create a 10x better differential experiential experience outside, right? And hence, we then thought that how do we really invest in all three? Teachers part was easy for us, being teachers and like that for 8-9 years. That came naturally. I would probably say that was through experience. So that happened. Even today, probably I would say that is like the biggest USP of Vedantu. But that sort of like there's a lot of almost like 25, 30 years of experiential understanding of that inside the founding team itself. So that came. The other thing which was not very natural and we had to invest a lot was the platform part. And platform, when you looked at that time, they were majorly platforms which were built for video conferencing. But again, if you think about teaching and learning, the way you would imagine that is very different. And hence we explored first and then figured out that yeah, kuch aur nahi hai, we have to do our own thing. So that's really why we invested in that full. Like a disclaimer there, it's very important for entrepreneurs to think what is core and invest in that core. And then think about what are the adjacencies or probably what are the stuff which is okay, right? You know, you're not trying to build right now. Because that decision is extremely critical in early stage. What really is core? Where do you invest? And what then you just integrate and don't really, it's not that important. The lesser it is, the better it is, because you can only.
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. All of those nuggets, like just map out, like we can all look back and see how it mapped. But what's amazing is how you could do it in the moment, because it seems counterintuitive, because everybody can focus on demand first. Everybody can focus on the things that are showy, but to focus on fundamental technology that can scale well, really, really important. And identifying the core is a very important choice. So great, great. Thanks for that, Vamsi. Continuing from there, Vamsi, I think another amazing aspect that you talk about, and this is something that you've propagated, is the flow. And that comes along with the patience, right? Because in a world where every youngster like myself is also trying to map the future, we can always be very rushed. What do we want to do in the future? Are we working towards it? Are we not? But you've spoken in the past about taking a breath, understanding where you are, and just focusing on the present, and the rest will map itself, right? Talk to us about the aspects around patience and being in the flow, the way you define it, and how it helped Vedantu in its journey.
Yeah, that's a pretty deep one, Jivraj. So I'll try to, you know, justify an answer to that. Before I even start, I would like to start with a disclaimer that as with everything in life and most of the answers, this is also contextual. And this is another area which I would, you know, put a strong disclaimer on, that context is the most critical thing, right? Because most of the things which you ask and I answer is in context with something, right? You know, and one of the advices I would like to give to even, you know, entrepreneurs who are watching this is please apply context everywhere. Because one answer is, it is no right and wrong answer. It's really about like what applies for your context. Now here in this particular case as well, there's no one way of making an impact, or there's no one way of creating a company or like, you know, starting it. And hence, it's not that this is the only way which works, right? It's just that you need to be self-aware about yourself, right? And what you want to do, what will give you energy and satiation and satisfaction, and then conduct stuff around that. Challenge happens when there is a dissonance between that and probably, like, you know, externalities, right? You know, and my only suggestion is try to minimize that. Now, in this particular case, just like stock investing, there are obviously many guys who do day trading, and there are people who do long-term trading. Is it that only long-term traders are the ones who, like, you know, who profit or make money? Nothing like that, right? You know, they're experts and then experts at that. What we have discovered, and what I'm discovered about myself and not about myself is we are more on the second type. We are more long-term obsessed, more long-term focused. And there are multiple reasons behind that. Your start, your inception, your upbringing, your culture, a lot of things go into that. So education, when we started way back in 2006, we were very clear that, you know, for any meaningful impact to happen here, it is going to take time. And for all those time we have spent, we have got massive satiation and satisfaction out of that. So the journey was very satiating and satisfying. And when the journey is satisfying, you just want to continue on that journey. There isn't really a destination for you. The journey itself is, right, so enjoyable, right? So for us, that really, you know, those few things played out really well, still continues to play out. Hence, we are more obsessed over what will this journey continue, right? And impacts will continue to happen. So one of the things we think about is how do we create a company which continues to innovate and be there even after our lifetime. So when you have that framework, then the decisions you take, the approaches you follow, the kind of company, culture, people, you know, everything is in that context. So not to say that the other contexts don't exist. But so just wanted to, with that, you know, this is a very important disclaimer to begin with. So here, like many times, there's a short-term thinking. So, and there's nothing wrong in that, right? I do get many entrepreneurs who come and say that, you know what, this is really hot right now. I do foresee that these are two areas or three areas which is really, right, you know, is going to blast out or is hot. And I want to create a startup in that space. There's nothing wrong in that. But then it's important then that you are trying to work with the market, and the market's upswings and downswings you are going to get, right? Somebody has an like a timeline in mind that, you know what, in 5 years, I need to be there, 3 years. Then the decisions are more in that. Again, there's no right and wrong thing. But if you apply this context to that, that won't work. Vice versa also. So our approach has always been long-term, right? Our approach has been like, you know what, this is fundamentally important, right? And so hence, how do we create company culture? How do we take decisions? And like value systems and so on and so forth are there. Not to say short-term is not important, but then short-term becomes more tactical. Short-term is not an end to anything. So yeah, so that's really been the foundational stuff due to which we have been able to have that patience, have that perseverance, because it's been always, you know, been thought like that. And we have always approached this like that. And that actually is the aim itself.
Got it. No, that's again fantastic, because I think the singular focus and mindset of being in the moment, enjoying the journey and having that long-term focus, that really personifies and manifests the entrepreneurial love, which you have absolutely done and Vedantu is doing. So kudos to you on that. And of course, I love the fact that we need to have that acceptance and conscious recognition that it may not apply to us. It may be like one way of doing things, but of course that's the way that has worked for Vedantu. So kudos to you for that. I think we've spoken about a bunch of things which are abstract in nature. We've understood, you know, what Vedantu has done, and we understand the model, but no category creating company is built without a great culture, which is of course a standout feature about Vedantu. So I want to spend the next 10-15 minutes on that, on very specific things that have stood out in my research. The first one being the shared tribe of Vedans, right? And we barely see that. I mean, everybody tries to create a culture which really thrives, but the highest formation and manifestation of it is if a group of people can really identify with one representation of them, which in Vedantu's case is Vedans. Can you help us understand who ideated this? How did it come about? What did the founders do right to scale it? And how do you continue to bring that sense of shared realization, identification, tribe within the company as the company scales, even 7-8 years since inception?
Yeah. No, that word you used is perfectly accurate. It's a tribe. It's been very organic. Yeah. And it's another one of those things which you sort of also mentioned in your talk, it's kind of counterintuitive. When you are intentional about it, it doesn't happen, right? So I can probably reflect back and say that we were never intentional about it. So it's almost like that Zen thing, like to scale, you need to descale kind of a, you know, philosophy. So we've just been true to ourselves. We just been very, very true and articulate about what really we are here to do, what motivates us, what energizes us, right? And when you articulate that, then obviously people automatically get to see, right, you know, and sense the vibrations. And then they themselves are able to filter out that are they able to relate with that? And when they are, the tribe gets created. Easiest way, or probably not easy, but the natural way it happens is, as in any tribe, people with a particular kind of a mindset, philosophy, or a shared thinking come together. And that's really what Vedanta and Vedanta is about, right? We all believe that we all are where we are because of education. Education is one of those levers, which is a great equalizer. It not just uplifts an individual, it actually uplifts not just the individual, but the entire society, the village, and then the nation and the race, right? And there is a massive power in it. We are where we are largely because of that. And hence, this is a tool through which you can actually create massive impact at scale. There is a lot of purpose to it. Right. And there's a lot of joy and energy in that. So the kind of people who are driven by this kind of a mission, you know, work happens everywhere, but the kind of work which actually is, you know, creating a positive displacement in human race, right, you know, that's the kind of mindset which organically over the years have got accumulated, right? And hence the tribe thing happens. Also, I believe, Jivraj, to your question, it also is important that there is no dissonance. Okay, so one of the things is, you know, and I've never been a big fan of that, right? You know, you think through about, like, you know, what are the values, culture, blah, blah, blah. And many of it you try to put, which are more aspirational in nature. But you are not that, right? You will, sometimes it happens, not always, but I've seen sometimes you read Amazon's, like, you know, 14 principles and try to get. So there's nothing wrong in that, right? They're beautiful. They are like something to really get inspired about. But what is even more important than that is to, again, be self-aware and to be truly understand who you are and be very naked with that and try to identify with that and amplify that. So that's the most important thing. And when I say dissonance, what I mean by dissonance, let me just take an example because that's important also, very important, in fact. What is Vedans is also what each one of the probably service elements, you know, and embody, right? So what it means is what we are inside as a culture is also our brand. What is brand is culture. What is culture is brand. What we teach is truly what we preach. What we apply on our customers is also what we try to apply on Vedans. So there is no dissonance whatsoever. And when there is no dissonance whatsoever, that is when the true stuff really blasts out. Not to say that we are like through the journey, far from it. We are still very, very early. But when you are as close to this, then the energy really shorts up. There are no blocks. And that's really the state where you need to be. You will not be able to attract everyone. You need to be conscious about that. But the real feeling of tribe is like the tribe is able to then attract the like-minded people. And then that really, you know, becomes magical. And that is what then gives you purpose and joy and also energy to continue on the journey.
No, that's amazing. I think so many of those like very heavy words, I'd say, because to internalize it truly is amazing. But to hear you speak about it in terms of the journey and how it's been, because what I'm hearing is words like authenticity, impact, the joy, the purpose, the motivation, and to give a group of people a shared vision that can go towards the mission. I think that's just amazing in an authentic manner that too. So really kudos to, again, Vedantu and what you've been able to do with the founding team and other founders and the leadership to scale this. So great cues for any young builder and certainly food for thought for us. But the second aspect of this culture is also how you've been able to maintain the student obsession and working very meticulously towards ensuring that, you know, high quality education can get democratized to each nook and corner of the country. Help us understand that when the company grows, there are so many other metrics to focus on. There is growth numbers, there are other revenue metrics, whatnot, right? When that becomes the metric, right, which can get skewed sometimes, because as a young company, I'm guessing, you know, everybody's energetic, but when the company scales, how do you keep intact the student obsession and the other pillars that come along with it, right? Like organic growth, like focusing on the fundamentals, ensuring that the students always come first. All of that, how do you scale as the organization grows? I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, so it's a journey, and it's a journey. Again, when you are small, it's easy because there are only so much people. You just talk it out, and when you talk it out, and like, you know, 10 times when you talk the same thing and try to implement the same thing, it becomes a habit. The challenge is to maintain that habit as you scale, right? Because a lot of people come in. Everyone has their own way of doing things, and like, you know, way of thinking and interpretation of what this means also. So I think there are a few things which are, I would say, helpful while you are scaling up to keep in mind. One of the most important thing, and this is an area where I would say even we did not do a great job at, is document some of it. So documentation is not something which I think startups are great at, right? You know, and at least especially the early stage. Yeah. But it's important because, you know, when you articulate it, like, you know, sorry, put it down on a paper, it does two things to you. One, you yourself are able to understand in like second level detail what it really means. And once you articulate, it's always a great thing to articulate because you are able to identify with it. And then it also becomes kind of like a asynchronous stuff which can be referred to. And people are not really dependent on, you know, just it being hearsay. So that's one area which I would recommend. The second thing is, see, student obsession in our case, right, was a very intuitive thing, which was, it is truly who we are. It is truly about what we are trying to do. So that was an easy part. How do you, and there are a few other things, like innovation is the second core value to Dantu, right? Because we are because of innovation, because what we are doing is actually changing the way teaching and learning has been happening. So I would say there are a lot of things here, Jivraj. First thing is, I truly believe it's a founder's responsibility to constantly hammer on these things. That's one. And a lot of rituals, a lot of ways you can do it. But the ultimate thing is, you just have to be the torchbearer of this. Multiple ways. Fun is articulating it multiple times, telling how does it really translate into execution, again, by multiple examples. How we do that in Vedantu, at least at this scale, is by not just documenting, but in our town halls, as in any town halls, you start with product updates, or business updates and stuff updates. We don't do that. All our town halls start with student impact stories. And those student impact stories we collect from Vedans, that in their own interactions with the kids, where did they hear something, or did they something which actually created a positive impact? And we call it WOW internally, Vedantu Out of World Experience, VOW. But like, you know, where did it really create that impact? We just collect that. A lot of stories which come, and we just showcase that out there. Like, this is... And like, when you do it every week, every month, like, you know, that takes shape. That's one. For innovation, let's say, for example, one of the things which we do is, in our reviews, we at least try to have, like, you know, in at least leadership reviews, we have a slide which just talks about two things. What new did you do last month? And what did you learn from it? Again, learning is very important in true Vedantu style. It's one of the things around Vedans. So that's innovation, right? What new you are doing, what are you learning from it? That's simple. So it also helps, like, what is innovation? That is an over-abused term. So like that, you know, there can be many rituals, and I'm not going into, like, you know, everyone, like, you know, can figure that out, what works for. But one is, like, as a founder, being very clear and calling it out where it's not working out. So, like, for example, we have taken n number of decisions where it was anti-business but pro-student, and we have taken it. I mean, it's not one. I think we take it like almost 100 such decisions in a year. So first, as a founder, you need to just really be hard about it. And then once you do it 10 times, even then the leaders and the others start following it, right? So it's habits. They see you doing it, they will follow. So that's the CEO's and the founder's job. That's one. Second is, as many rituals, documentation, other things, then it sort of becomes an org habit. So yeah, that's probably my answer to that.
That's again awesome, because what I'm hearing is so much of walking the talk and actually, you know, staying true to that belief as opposed to just like talking about it. So I think that's one. And then making it a lifestyle habit and almost engraving it by so many of these micro things a founder can do.
Yeah. And also, Jivraj, one more important thing there, like, you know, since you brought this out, many a times when a company scales, people are not very clear about the decision-making criteria. And the best way is if these values are the ones which you are actually using to make the decision-making criteria. And hence, it's very important to actually not just articulate it, but actually document it and use it repeatedly. So when in doubt, people then know that go back to your values. So given like A karna hai, B karna hai, right? You know, go back to values and like, what is that? Say, what is right for the student? Suddenly, then you know, so initially it won't be a habit. You need to push for it. In your meetings, you need to like say this, and then probably everyone will start following it.
No, I love the fact that you're being so deliberate about it. I think amidst everything that has to be done by a founder at this scale, just being deliberate about each of these steps and iterating on it again and again is again a great cue. And I love the fact that, you know, you have to be just very consciously on it, I guess. This is wonderful. And I think this covers the culture aspects beautifully well. Another question on that is pretty much to complete the circle is the hard decisions, right? And some hard decisions can come in times of despair as well. And Vedantu has seen, unfortunately, some of them, but thankfully, you know, tackled them really well and gone past it. So I've heard your podcast with Anand, and I would recommend everyone listening in to also tune into that. But you talk about a couple of things there in the sense that 2016, 2017 was not the best time. You also had to let go of some people in the company. And when we talk about those times, right, I mean, those things are not glorified enough. And these are not, of course, people who are impacted. So not glorifying them. But as a founder who's been through the lows as well and enough of them, if you can help us understand what that has done to shape your personality and what have you learned in terms of just people skills, I would say, right? Or the art of letting go. What have you learned in that aspect? And what would your recommendation be to founders who are maybe not doing as well? I think that would be a great segment to cover as a part of this conversation.
Yeah. So a lot of learning, in fact, more so during these times, you learn a lot more than the normal times. Right? So always the war times teach you more. So I would say, again, coming back to your roots and being truly authentic around who you are and what it is probably what I have learned, at least. There are many ways of not doing it well, but probably the best way to do it well is just to be true to yourself. And think about if you were there on the other side, genuinely, how would you would have loved to be, you know, be tackled during that process? It actually comes down to as simple thing as that, right? It's not really complicated, right? We just like, you know, mess it up because of like whatever XYZ reasons, but it isn't tough. It is tough. It is very tough. And to escape that, many a times we mess it up. But I would say that's the least you can do, right, as an individual, because directly or indirectly, it is something you have done which has caused this. So that's like the least amount of ownership which you can take. So first is like really, you know, especially the toughest part was letting people go. And that was very unfortunate because we actually were doing well as a business, and because of some external stuff, it happened. But it doesn't matter, Rick, external, internal, what. It is what it is. And then you need to be genuine, authentic, do the best you can. Take ownership from the beginning. And again, as I said, if you were there on the other, you know, person's seat, how would you would like to be, tackled, right? You know, how would you would have been spoken about to, right, or addressed to in situation is really about how you need to do. In Vedantu's case, always like, you know, we've been authentic, we've been genuine. So again, that's exactly how we did it. It's not easy. Never is it easy. But that's the right thing to do. So just do the right thing is what I would say. Learning's a lot of them. Few things, obviously, you don't have an answer to, right? And you don't have a control on also. So you can't do anything about that. So coming in reality and in terms with those things is very critical, because if you are always in that defensive or probably in avoidance mode, that won't help. The earliest you come to an acceptance is best, is the first thing I learned. The second thing I learned is always these things are opportunities, if you look at it, right? So the mindset is very, very, very critical. And not just your mindset, the team's mindset. And the best way to get the team's mindset in the right zone is, again, to be very authentic and to be genuine with what's the situation. And believe me, Jivraj, one thing which I've learned the hard way out is founders think that, they are the only ones who, you know, who need to know this. And they don't trust the maturity of other folks to handle those things. But I have, like, that's my learning. It's not at all the case. In fact, you are the worst. I mean, we are the worst ones to actually deal with it because we are the most emotional about it and most invested in it. The people who are not are actually are able to think about it in much more rational terms and are able to, yeah, be more logical and rational about it as compared to maybe the top guy or the founders or the CEO going through it. That was my second learning in that. So, I mean, share, be authentic, like, you know, put the problem out there and you'll be amazed with the response. And of course, while that is always happening, always an opportunity to go deep, reinvent things. And at least in Vedantu's case, I can tell you that all shape shifts have come from such, like, you know, episodes. Although, like, you know, we had one deep episode and one big transformation came from there. You know, thankfully, not had such deep episodes, right? But whenever, like, you know, ups and downs, small ups and downs keep happening, right? You know, so whenever there is small down, you always get innovations and shape shifts from there. So I think it's a great opportunity to create, to get a lot of stuff out of crisis. And that is where maybe leadership comes into play and the mindset comes into play.
Got it. No, I love that again, pretty much because it goes back to the fundamentals of staying authentic, being genuine, and actually looking at the brighter side, looking at adverse situations as opportunities, as you mentioned. But I think one thing that stands out for me is how you mentioned that founders don't have to know it all. You don't have to, as the captain of the ship, you can tend to think that, you know, you have to ride it along. You have to be the most confident person. You can't be vulnerable. But I think all of what you mentioned is if you share all of that, people will surprise you, they'll take it up as a challenge and even step up to, you know, ride the ship together as opposed to you just navigating it.
Absolutely. Always. Absolutely. And always I've found that to be true. One of the other things which I would say, which is little different, like, I mean, not different, but related with this concept, is your own conviction in the thing you're doing. And I didn't call that out before, but let me just do that because that is the most important thing in this whole thing. Because if that's shaky, whenever these things happen, you get shaky or gets shaky. So it's just, and this is where really the strength of your conviction gets tested, you and your founders. And there is absolutely no easy answer around that. It is what it is. And you will discover it for yourself. And if it isn't as strong as it is, it's okay. Right? You know, again, there's no right and wrong thing about it. But then you'll find your own way and path there.
Absolutely. No, I think that's very important to understand, in fact, because, I mean, it's the testing times that eventually show us character as well. And we realize things about ourselves that we also don't know, which is when conviction gets tested. And it's amazing how Vedantu's been able to weather the storm and now is just like blasting through and has become this rocket ship that is democratizing education. I think this has been fantastic, Vamsi. I think we've covered a bunch of things. And as we go on to the closing aspects of this conversation, I would just like to understand a couple of personal founder traits from you. One thing that, you know, really stands out about you is the level of clarity in terms of just thought. I'm sure it's come with time, but if you can probably explain to us that what has been the personal journey that you have gone through to come to an extent where it's more future oriented, it's more thoughtful, you're more self-aware, you're more confident perhaps, and all of the other traits that you'd like to highlight that have come only with time, with iteration. If we can all take benefit from your years of experience and learnings and understand what it means to be, you know, leading a company of this value, this scale, I think that would be great to hear.
I think we are still going through the journey, Jivraj. There's a lot, like, you know, there's lot to do and lot of learnings to come and lot of growing up to happen, you know, at Vedantu's level, at me, and especially me at a personal level as well. And it is not just your journey. You obviously learn a lot from people around, ecosystem. So wherever I am is entirely thanks to so many, you know, factors that I can't even name that. But having an open attitude and having, again, that conviction that you need to do that, and all of those are means to achieve that bigger purpose in it, is really what gets you going, right, on the journey. So with that, to just, you know, reflect on your question, right? Few things. So I personally am always been, I would say, a very first principle thinker, right? So that's probably a part of, like, you know, personality which has made it relatively little easier, right? You know, even before entrepreneurship, whatever. You know, I always have seen that, you know, things are actually very simple. If you get down to basics, they aren't as complicated as, like, you know, sometimes they seem to be. And just try to get things to basics is probably something which really helps, right? Helps clear the clutter and, you know, get more and bring more structure to the unstructured problem solving stuff, right, which is there. But apart from that, Jivras, that's a small thing that, you know, it's everyone, like, you know, can do that. It's nothing rocket science about that. It's very basic, actually, very simple. Coming to the startups context and probably the journey, yes, of course, there's been a lot of learnings. I would say one of the big revelations and learning for me is, earlier I used to get really, for lack of a better word, gullible and probably influenced by so much going around, right? And almost gets overwhelming. And especially for the early stage founders or wannabe founders and entrepreneurs looking at it, it gets very overwhelming, right? Everyone is giving some gyan, including me right now here, right? And with a massive information download on us everywhere, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., etc., and networking events and so on and so forth, it gets very overwhelming. And that's really is one of the kya kare, right? You know, everywhere you are hearing so much. I would say the big learning for me and something which I've grown up, you know, to learn to implement now is everything is contextual. And there is no formula, there's no right answer. You know the best. You know actually what is best for it. So if you are more grounded and if you are inward focused than outward focused, that always serves us better. So be inward focused. You have all the answers. If you don't have the answers, actually stop talking to, like, you know, like the so-called, like, you know, the information overloading thing, but actually talk to your customer. Okay, talk to your thing. So that's more internal focus, which has really stood the time. And many a times we have made grave mistakes by getting influenced by some of these external entities. Just because you feel, oh, that person must be smart or that org is smart and what they are doing makes sense and nothing of that sort, right? You know, nothing works like that. What works is what you truly, like, you know everything. You just need to be internally focused and talk to your customers. And that's been a big learning. And what it does is it cuts the clutter out. So much so that now today at Vedantu, we just don't at all obsess over competition, right? Forget obsess, we obsess over students, right? There isn't a lot of talk of competition. Having said that, we definitely respect them and try to learn from them. Lot of stuff to learn. Learning is a very inherent part of Vedantu because we are a teaching and learning company. But we don't get distracted or we don't get obsessed. We don't compare also because you are unique. And when your aspiration is so long-term, like, you know, what's the whole hurry over there? So I would say this has been a big learning, right? You know, and when you operate that mindset, you don't have that pressure of responding to each and everything and so on and so forth. You can be very thoughtful about it and you do what you feel is the best for your customer. And you execute it. Not saying that will always be also perfect, but you do it, you learn from it. But cuts a lot of distractions. So that's been my big learning. And that is something also I would encourage a lot of founders that, you know, just don't do it because someone else is doing it. Right? You know yourself, be self-aware, and you know best, right? Nobody else, you know, knows more than you. And please apply context everywhere. Please apply context. If you were to ask me a question that, Vamsi, how do you hire? Okay. And if I give you an answer, that isn't one answer fits all, right? That answer is specific to a particular level at a particular stage and 10 other things, right? So, yeah, and so on and so forth. So please apply context.
Love that. I think that entirely sums up everything that we mentioned as well, because first principles thinking and being inward focused, both amazing pointers, difficult to practice. It's amazing to witness live as to how you've been able to practice it with those anecdotes. And hopefully everyone listening in can reflect back, apply context and accordingly, you know, practice it if it fits them. So super to hear that.
Lot of things, Yuvraj, in our management style, at least personally me, is borrowed from teaching and learning. Okay, so this is something which is a little different, but being a teacher myself, like, lot of management principles and whatever stuff, like, lot of stuff which we preach, I do personally, and like what I talk about, it comes from actually teaching and learning. So if you just imagine you're a teacher, or if you yourself are a teacher and you're mentoring a child, and he is where he is, let's say whatever grade 10 or 11, and he comes to you that कि सर ये बोल रहा है वहां पर उसने ये बुक खरीद ली दिस गाय इज डूइंग दिस दैट व्हाट शुड आई डू व्हाट वुड यू एडवाइज हिम और हर राइट इट्स एक्चुअली इफ यू लुक एट इट एट अ वेरी 30,000 फीट व्यू लेवल इट्स नॉट वेरी डिफरेंट व्हाट आई जस्ट टोल्ड इट्स बेसिक थिंग्स आर बेसिक राइट एंड सो या लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स एट वेदांतु स्पेशली वी डिराइव आउट ऑफ दैट एंड दैट इज व्हाई आई सेड लेस डिसोनेंस इन
No, I think that's great. I mean, as I reflect on this conversation also, it just feels like it's not that difficult, right? It is very simplistic. It is very fundamental. Instead of complicating it, if we can actually fall back on who we are, recognize it, and then practice it well enough and get together a great group of people, I think magic can happen as it has in the case of Vedantu. And that's been a great learning that I am certainly going to take back from this one. But as I was saying, I think for the second last question, what I would love to know, and we've been almost all the time qualitative through this conversation, but on a quantitative front, I mean, if I had to ask you, as you have so many things to do currently, I'm sure like being the founder and the leadership of such a large organization is not any Hail Mary. How do you kind of plan and prioritize and perhaps make decisions also? Any frameworks, any mental models? Because I know for a fact that so many of us can tend to get very bogged down with the kind of an amount of things that have to be done. If as a founder, the superheroes who can do it all, how do you do it? And what is your framework to manage a ton of things? I would love to hear that.
Far from superhero, but always pushing and trying to get better is probably the way to go here. No, that's a great question, Jivraj. And this, of all the other questions, this is one is purely context based because it varies massively from the stage you are. So the way I used to operate when probably like 5 years back is very different from the way I operate today. So I'll probably talk about how we do it now, because when you are early, I think you should not even worry about these things. You should just worry about finding that product market fit, right? And just trying to do this fast and efficiently and be very close to your customer, do that, talk that, right? But at scale, you need to let go. And then you need to be very sure and clear about what are your main jobs. And in this particular case, as you rightly put out, obviously, like, you know, making right decisions and telling others how to make those right decisions is one of the things. I'll come down there, but before that, I'll just talk about like how like at least I manage and few things which has worked well for me. A lot of this also has been learnings from seeing other, you know, CEOs of, you know, later stage companies. And like, as I said, a lot of it is learning iterations. So first thing you need to create is a support system around it. So without support system, it doesn't work. So in my case, obviously I have a CEO's office, I have a chief of staff, right? You know, I've like over time, I've over invested in that because that is like a very high ROI. Many times founders don't get it because all of us are scrappy, obviously to begin with, and that's how it should be. But quantitatively, let me just put, you need to think about the value of your company or probably the revenue you're doing or whatever, and you being a factor in influencing that. And if you just divide it by the number of hours you have and the value of that 1 hour, that probably is one framework which will potentially convince CEOs and founders watching this to make that investment, right? And hence it also makes it sense at a stage. And before that stage, it doesn't make sense, right? So I would say that is one way I can convince people to invest. Otherwise, we are all scrappy. We said, yaar, khud karte hain, sab kar lenge, right? Superhero stuff. It's always good to have a support system. So I have a good support system today now, right? You know, something which has happened over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, but decent support system now. That's one. Second thing, I've used that support system for a lot of things. So for example, anything which can be done by someone else, I just outsource it. Yeah. One of the frameworks which work well for me is I have my chief of staff or an EA, whichever way works for you, right? You know, assist you with your calendars, right? You know, the basic stuff around, like, you know, coming to you with your meetings, right? You know, ensuring what are the follow-up line items. Right, you know, and that those things have happened between the two meetings, ensuring the quality of the meeting itself is high, you know, the agenda, the, you know, the after the meeting is over, the follow-ups, the action items, the conclusions, right, you know, basic stuff. This is all basic stuff. You'll find enough about it on the internet. But I mean, having a support system structured to do this for you is very critical and important. Yeah, so that the ball doesn't get dropped. So that's the first thing I did, right, you know, which really helped me. The second thing then, the second level I did is like looked at your own personal time efficiency. So this person can also be trained to look at your calendar and see that, is that, you know, optimized. Yeah. Very important. I think I say this a lot. More than time management, energy management is more important. So being very intentional about what energizes you, what doesn't energize you. And it's not that what doesn't energize you don't do. You have to do. In fact, more of, like, it's always majority of that you have to do. But sprinkle your calendar with things which energizes you and being very intentional about it, right? And then having those gaps. Now, whatever works for you. For me, like, how I do it is I actually have my 1 half day completely blocked out, right? In a week, apart from Sunday. Now, Sunday is definitely something which is reserved for the family and it's, like, completely off bonds. But apart from that, I have half day which is complete bond, which is more like self time, or you do whatever with that, like more open sky thinking or whatever, some, you know, half a day to begin with, and maybe ideally one day, right? You know, and like having that in calendar and being very protective about it is definitely one thing which works really, really well in, has worked very well for me. That's probably one of the things. The other thing is when you come in, right? You know, either you can be intentional about what are your priorities, and you drive them, or let the day drive you. They're just these two choices, right? And given the scale where probably Vedanto is, if I let it be, things will drive me, right? Because it's always pull, 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 pull. But you need to be intentional about what is the pull, and you should be available for those pulls. Like, okay, this is the decision to be taken. What is this? Okay, you know, approve this. Those are pulls. Push is what are important for you, and are you pushing it, right? So it's that balance between pull and push. Early stage is all push, no pull. At later stage, it will be more pull, but you need to be intentional about what are those pushes you need. And there comes you being disciplined and organized about it. So for example, one of the tools I use is Fellow. It's a meeting notes tool, right? But it's also I use for my personal management, apart from, of course, I mean, calendar, Slacks, and those things are usual. But Fellow is something I use. So there, every month, there would be probably some top priorities which I intentionally like put out there. Okay. So before a month starts, I will review the last month and I'll put some high priority line items in that. And that's it. And that's synced with EA. So one of the things which EA does is if those are the top priorities, how much of my calendar time is actually going to those top priorities? So it's not just about writing something down, but are you actually giving time to that? Otherwise, it's wishful thinking. Right? You write something and you want to displace it, but you're not even giving any time, which normally becomes the case because everyone is busy. Then it won't get displaced. So being a very, look, you know, having that cadence around someone reviewing it and coming to you and having that support structure saying that this is what, right, you know, are the top priorities, but you are only like spending 2% of your time on this. So that needs to change then, right? You know, so this is something which I've grown to be very better at now. Right, you know, so I ensure that, you know, that percentage that of time is actually going depending on the intensity of the priority. The other thing then, which now I've started doing over the last 1 year is before I come and start my regular day. So typically I like, you know, at Vedanto, our meetings like start late, not before 11. So 11 to 8 is probably our common meeting slots, right? You know, and people do stuff before and after that. So what I do is 1 hour before that, I'll have my like, you know, on Fellow, I have my daily priority list. So I just write one thing or two things at max, never more than that, which is most important for the day and which I need to displace for the day. Just as simple as that. And those are mostly tied with the month goals, but you know, something can be tactical also. And the first 1 hour, let's say, or half an hour, depending on like how efficient and how this is, you just spend like that time just pushing that out. And that's all what you require. It doesn't take more than 15 minutes, right? Just clear the clutter. Right, you know, so I have my EA who tells that these are the four important line items you need to revert to, let's say in emails or whatever, that and these two things, which are the top priority, just push it. It doesn't require more than like half an hour, max 1 hour. But once it is done, then you can be sort of like relieved for the entire rest of the day and be in the pull mode and just do stuff, right? Because the push thing is already done, like first thing in the thing. And next again, you do that. So it's a lot to do with being disciplined about it and having the support structure. If I would just say there are two things, these two things. Again, big context. This is what works for me. What works for you may be entirely different. Doesn't really matter what that is, as long as you are conscious about it and disciplined about it.
That's brilliant again. I love how tactical you went there and how focused you were on the small things as well. I mean, that showed through your discipline itself and speaks volumes about it. I love the fact that it's so proactive in nature. I mean, it's so easy to be just like drawn towards everything that comes around and, you know, be reactive to everything. I mean, answer an email, do that, whatnot, right? But instead, if you're being proactive about it and very structured about it, I think that really helps. And that's my takeaway from that answer.
No, Devraj, I think you raised a very important point on that email and thing. So let me tell you, given that this information age we are in, we are bombarded with stuff, it's important. And this, I think I'm very passionate about this topic, about like, how is that affecting our productivity? And I've been an entrepreneur between 2006 and 10, when this was not as pervasive as it is today. And I'm obviously a entrepreneur now as well. And I can tell you there is a massive amount of efficiency delta I see, at least in my efficiency level at that time versus this time, largely because of the interruptions which are caused by these things, right? And I do believe it's one of the pandemics we have and one of the diseases we have, which is resulting in a massive erosion of human productivity. But that's a topic I'm very passionate about, maybe a topic for some other discussion. But important, since you raised that, it's very important to be disciplined about that. And like, how are you responding? And in my case, I just don't do this more than at max 2 times a day, at max, right? Ideally 1 time a day, right? And that's okay, right? And as long as you're setting that expectation, that's completely okay. And please preach this to even your leaders, because deep work happens through immersion. And if you're constantly getting disturbed by this thing, you are not in that deep thought to be able to make a big decision, right? So that's a very, very, very important point you raised. And I just thought of like addressing that. Yeah.
No, I think that's very true, because again, often firefighting seems like, you're getting there, but if you can't be proactive and long-term thinking and all of the things that you mentioned, all of it boils down to how conscious you can be about allocating your time in a productive manner, proactively, as opposed to just reacting to situations. So love that. And the energy management part of it was also amazing. Like, we always look at things from a very manual sense, but if we can map out energy very well, I think that sums it up really well. So.
Oh man, absolutely. I mean, I can't underscore the importance of this for all the folks watching this, especially the folks watching this thing. I mean, energy management is greater than time management, because that's what you need to manage. And very important, Jevraj. So for example, like, you know, one of the things, as I do the half a day block and one day for family, like, for example, it's also important to manage your, like, you know, personal relationship. Otherwise, like, for example, as founders, we have compulsory Saturday lunch, right? And that's a relationship which we love, first of all, right? You know, and we are also intentional about it. Once a year, all the founders, we have been doing this for 16 years. We have an annual pilgrimage to Goa, and we have to go, right? These small things, but those are the things which energizes you, right? So with my wife, I have like Friday as the date night. I mean, no matter what happens, like, you know, after 8, it's like reserved. So these small things, I would really advise, whatever works for you, right? Doesn't matter. But being intentional about, like, you know, playing something, doing something, going on the thing, this is what will give you energy for you to be able to sustain long term.
Absolutely. No, that's very heartening and wholesome to hear. And I think that just completes the circle very, very well. This has been fabulous. And I don't think I can come up with a fitting last question. But I think the entire core summary of what we've discussed is building a category creating business in a market like education technology, which is, of course, not just large, but very, very fundamental to any country's growth. If Vamsi, you had to, you know, summarize for us 2 to 3 guardrails of what Vedantu got right through this journey, as any youngster listens to this and dreams of building the next Vedantu in their industry, I think that would be a great, great conversation summary.
Great, Jevraj. So always, it's a challenge to summarize stuff in few words, but let me attempt this. One of the things I believe we got right was, at the start, it was obviously like tough. We were laughed about all this concept. But one thing which really, you know, I would advise, and we got it right, is ignoring all of that and staying true to what you believe is right. Right. And that comes from strong conviction of you yourself having done it and or other signals and blah, blah, blah. Very honestly, Devraj, there was absolutely no survey or no document presented at that time to even size the market. And we used to scout for it. So I think one thing we got really right is, like, you know, first principle thinking and, like, you know, and knowing that this is what is truly the right thing for the students, in our case, the customers, the students, and just sticking with it, having the highest conviction, sticking in it and saying that yehi sahi hai, yehi better hai, ye aaj nahi to kal hoga. And then having other, like, taking your decisions according to that. So that I would say is, like, the number one thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, while you are very clear about that long-term thing and this being the right thing, also you being tactical about, so that you are in the game, right? You know, till that thing happens, right? Otherwise, I mean, it's also important to be tactical about it, right? So it's also to be, like, you know, to be there in the game and doing, like, few things which will move the node a little bit, yet not take you out of the game. So that other aspect is also important. And I think the third thing we probably heard a lot and then got it right is, like, you know, is just, like, you know, getting the right team to also obsess over the right thing, which is, again, students' interest in this case. So the team building, we've been very fortunate to have people, like-minded people join us. And then once that happens, then the momentum itself is so large, right? It naturally happens. So, yeah, probably these are a few things which comes to mind.
No, that's awesome. I think that brings it to a great conclusion, in the sense that you've mentioned thinking from first principle, having conviction, being tactical, and then finding the best people to make it happen. I think that's the great conclusion from this conversation. Thank you so much, Vamsi, for being your absolute candid self. I genuinely appreciate this. And I think I have learned tremendously through this last 60 minutes of a wonderful conversation. I really hope you enjoyed it as well. And I hope everyone listening in truly derives value from it.
Absolutely, Jivraj. Thanks for, like, you know, doing this. And as I said, I really feel energized after doing this. So that's a great signal for me as well. I really hope this is helpful. And yeah, all the best.
Awesome. With that, we come to the end of this conversation. Thank you so much for tuning into the episode. I really hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you're finding value with the podcast, do follow it on the audio streaming platform of your choice, drop in a review, and subscribe to our WhatsApp newsletter to get all the updates directly on your inbox. Thanks again. I will see you next week for another episode. Till then, I hope you recall. If you never try, you'll never know. Stay tuned and keep building.